This weekend is the big anniversary, the 29th anniversary of what some would say is the greatest concert in the history of Earth.
It wasn't the Budweiser Superfest with a New Edition and...
Okay, I said some would say.
LL Cool J.
Perhaps some would say
no,
that.
I'm just asking. I don't know. I'm trying to see
I didn't go to that one.
Okay.
But
all right.
If you were from this area, and honestly, if you're probably a white suburban kid, you might have hardcore been into Blockbuster Rockfest 97. And this took place Saturday is the anniversary, June 21st of 1997. And this was, believe it or not, this was the first event ever held at Texas Motor Speedway. Brand new. And this was one of those things where the lineup was the 90s music that I loved and that I still highly enjoy to this day. This was as potent a lineup for that genre that you could ever get to. So it was some band called Soak that never caught on. They opened Sugar Ray, Third Eye Blind, Matchbox 20, The Wallflowers, No Doubt, Jewel, Counting Crows, Paula Cole, Collective Soul, and Bush. And then Jacko Pierce, a local band, played. I swear in my memory, I remember the Nixons being out there too, but maybe not. But this was one of those where they promoted this. And of course, everybody remembers, well, maybe not everybody, but we used to have these things called video stores. And we would go to video stores to rent videos.
It's wild that you have to explain that now
and so,
these days, but it's true. you have to actually go and grab the tape off of the shelf and walk up and get the tape, and then you return it.
And then take it home for a couple of days and bring it back.
And then we got fancy that they would mail you the DVDs
which was
that you selected.
Right.
But you'd have to mail it back.
And so Blockbuster was by far the big one that was national, and there were a bunch of little mama. I worked at a mom-and-pop one in high school for a couple of years. So Blockbuster was doing this as a huge promotion, Blockbuster Rockfest, and tickets were free with a $10 purchase at Blockbuster. So if you went up on a weekend or like, I'm going to rent a couple of movies. Oh, here's your Rockfest ticket. And so I still have my Rockfest ticket. I think I've shown you this before, but I brought it to, I found it this morning. So this is what it looked like when you went, and then it had a stub on it that they tore off and kept. But that was the ticket that you got for free, the Rockfest 97 ticket.
That's so great. Now you can play that music again, Ham, because I am nostalgic for things like this, those keepsakes that you can have, and everything is so digital, you can't keep it.
And I've got it right there.
No, that's great, man.
And so, again, the first event ever held at Texas Motor
Speedway. Leave me alone, Ham.
Thank you. And they estimate that between 250 and 400,000 people attended this thing. And nobody really knows because they didn't keep track of how many tickets they were giving out. And so it was such a different time. It's hard to explain because now, like, well, didn't they just scan it and let you in? It wasn't really like that. They just tore off the bottom of it, and who knows if they kept those or not. And so I found this old article from, man, this would have been on the 20th anniversary, so almost 10 years ago, in the Dallas Morning News. And I was going to show you this so you get an idea. So that was Jacko Pierce playing there. But look at the crowd behind him.
Man.
And so then
that's
stacked. MTV was there. I'm telling you, dude, they say a minimum 250,000 people. So MTV was there. But you can kind of see that. And VH1 was there as well. And man, these pictures, I mean, look at that.
That's impressive.
It was so hot that day, they were spraying the crowd with water hoses to try and keep us cool. That was, and I've mentioned a couple of these before, that was the first time I ever saw somebody OD on drugs. And so what happened was when you drove over there, I went with my best friend Nick and my brother Chris and his best friend Billy, and we all loaded into my car. Nick and I had just graduated high school, and I think my brother and his friend were 16. So we all roll over. We're living in Rockwall, which back then, this was before Bush was complete, and there were no, you basically, it took us well over an hour just to get to that part of Fort Worth. The lines were insane. We left our house, I think, at 5 a.m., and were able to walk in at about 9:30.
Dang.
So 4.5 hours later, but we got there right before the first act went on, which was Soak. They opened it up, and at the time, this was when Third Eye Blind and Matchbox 20 were really brand new. Matchbox 20 had just, in the late 96, released their first album, Yourself or Someone Like You. This was prior to the summer of Third Eye Blind getting huge with their big song. And so some of the bands everybody knew, and the ones that played later in the day, of course, Collective Soul, Counting Crows were huge. Bush and No Doubt were the headliners. And and you're just packed into this thing. And I don't even know if you know some of those bands that I mentioned.
Like, I mean, I know the names. I'm not very familiar with the music.
So play a couple of these songs here. Because this was the one, you know, and this is Counting Crows, Mr. Jones.
Yeah, I've heard this song.
Right. And so this is one, whenever when they play this, the whole, like, 300,000 people are going bonkers. People are passing out. Like I said, I saw a guy OD on drugs, and I didn't know what was happening to him because I'd never seen this before in my life. He just started shaking and foaming at the mouth. And we were, I mean, as close as I am to you right now, he was in the area right ahead of us. And me and my friend Nick are like, what? Like, we thought, because we were good Christian kids at the time, I think we thought he was possessed.
Right.
Seriously, because I'd never seen anything like that before.
Yeah.
And he was like, and just frothing at the mouth. And the paramedics come flying through the crowd, and they put him on a stretcher and wrapped him up and took him out. That was crazy. And I know I've mentioned this before, because this was a concert. They had a ton of porta-pots when you had to use the bathroom. I guess one that I chose, the people had forgotten to lock it, and I opened the door, and they were having sex.
Yeah, they were doing it.
They were doing it, but the music at that time, and this is Matchbox 20, of course, with Push, that launched them into superstardom, and it's still one of my favorite bands of all time, to see this many bands that were all, like, I guess that 90s rock, 90s alternative, whatever you want to call it, that were so big, all on one stage in one day. It started, the first show started at 10 a.m., and Bush was the last band on, and they went till after midnight.
Boy, that is a long time being
out there. So you're
there
14-plus hours?
Yeah.
Because we left during Bush, because Bush was my brother's favorite band, and it was like, dude, we're never getting home if we don't leave now. And so then traffic trying to get out, and by the time you get back home, we got home like at 3 in the morning, so almost a 24-hour day from the time that we had left. And some of the bands, of course, like, I don't know if you know Collective Soul, and this is probably one of their big songs back in the day. And it feels like most people at some point have probably heard most of these songs.
Okay, yeah, now I'm familiar with this song.
The World I Know. And man, it's just...
Now, if I had gone to Blockbuster at the same time, and I purchased $10 worth of videos...
And you're like, here's your ticket, sir.
Yeah, I would have looked down at it and said, yeah, no thank you. Like, just walked out.
What bands are these?
What are you trying to give to me? I don't know.
And it was so... Because there was a... You know, they had, like I said, Third Eye Blind, Matchbox 20, and Sugar Ray, and Soak were the four bands that played first. And then in the afternoon, it was weird because they had Jewel and Paula Cole, who are more of that folksy type sound that got really popular in the 90s for a while. And, man, the vibe was so different when they were on stage because Jewel's up there playing acoustic guitar by herself.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden the crowd just starts swaying.
Yeah, I've never attended that many festivals like that to where you're going to be going all day.
Yeah.
You have the... Yeah, I'm trying to remember the last time. I went to the thing they call the Float Fest down in San Marcos? Yeah. And I saw The Suffers and Lil Wayne. And then after that, I was like, okay, I'm out. I'm just not going to stick around that whole time. It does absolutely nothing for me as far as being there all day.
It's a lot.
It's a whole lot. And I know at the age I am right now, there's not a chance in hell.
I would not do that.
It would have to be the most old school festival that I couldn't resist as far as being somewhere. And I would need a seat. We'd have to do something else to try and make sure that I'm comfortable, man. It's about me.
Well, and I do think that's true because, man, that was, you had to bring your own chair.
Right.
We're on the infield at Texas Motor Speedway, so people are bringing blankets. We had brought a couple of chairs and tried to claim our little piece of area with blankets and stuff. But there were so many people, you end up just kind of laying on someone else's blanket, like, oh, what's up? Hey, sorry, man. And, you know, that was back, for whatever reason, at that point in the 90s, acid had gotten really big again. And I know a lot of people were doing that because we got offered it, and I was like... I was super... I didn't drink or do drugs at all at that
And you had
point,
just graduated, so you're 18.
Yes, and I didn't do anything.
So that was my second year of college. And if I would have told my folks, hey, I'm going to leave at 5 a.m. to go to this concert, this festival, I think they would have said, yeah, Don, that's not happening. Even and that's my second year of college, and I think my parents would have said, yeah, no, that's I don't think that's a good idea.
I think, and since because my brother wanted to go, and they're like, well, as long as you're with your brother, it'll be okay. And like I said, all four of us went. And, dude, that was when I had this little – I had just gotten – I'm trying to remember what car I had. It might have been when I had my Nissan 240SX. Yeah, it was, because I got that right as I was graduating. And so I had a two-door car that didn't really have a full back seat, so my brother and his friend are just curled into the back seat for, like, 3 hours that it took us to get from my house to get to where we could park over there. But, man, that was one of the wildest I'll never forget, and anyone who went – and I run into people all the time. It's like, dude, I hear you talk about Rockfest. It was just on a different experience from any concert, music festival. And now those are so much bigger because you get the Bonnaroos and the Burning Man and the different festivals that are around. But back then, this didn't happen. Nobody did this.
Right.
And to have that many people, and Gavin Rosdell, who is a lead singer of Bush, in this article that I found from 10 years ago, he said, I've been told there are around 350,000 people there. It was one of the best days of my life, but it was so long ago, I'm convinced now there were 450,000 people there. He goes, I had spent the day with Gwen Stefani, who was his ex-wife, who was the lead singer of No Doubt. He goes, it was just a special day all around.
And I will bet you now that you have about 700,000 people that could tell you that they were there.
I'm sure they could, man. But that was Rockfest 97. Saturday, when you wake up, if you went, just remember it was 29 years ago on a Saturday, June 21st. June 21st is a Saturday. That's the anniversary. And it was on a Saturday, June 21st, 1997, where we all found a way to Texas Motor Speedway to experience that.